FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 6/16/20. Well, you know, we've been doing this a long time now. 9 years I've been doing the show full time. Some of you might say, well, if only you'd put your money in the stock market all that time. We never told you to put all your money into gold. The trolls always come out at anniversaries and momentous occasions. But I want to bring somebody on. You've heard him many times. He's around and he's definitely an expert in precious metals, talking about Kitco's Peter Hug. Peter, you are director of global trading for Kitco. You know, when we spoke in July 18th of last year, that's 2019, the price of gold was right around 1422. Your prediction was it would end up the year at 1550. And in fact, you were about 1.5%, 2% off. It ended right around 1517 or 18. And here we are. We've had a major, major rally. Many of you out there believe, as do I, that the precious metals bull market has resumed or started anew. Take your pick. And so we're going to like pin you down here because it's not July, but we're almost halfway through the year. And if you're willing to give us a number, we're willing to quote you on it.
So you want a number without a caveat?
You could give caveats, it's just curiosity, you know, to see where people come down on the price of gold. I have my number. I'll share my number. I think we're going to be close to 2,000 at the end of the year, if not higher. But but then again, I'm not an expert.
Well, yeah, I mean, expert. So I sort of like to give a macro picture of what I'm seeing out there. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, we were somewhat bullish gold for going through the balance of 2020. By somewhat bullish, gold at that point was at the beginning of the year somewhere, the low to mid 1500s. I thought that gold touching, the 1625 level sometime by mid 2020 would have been a reasonable projection. And I was basing that on the context of, the economy was very vibrant. Interest rates had basically sort of plateaued out. The equity markets were still sort of moving forward. And there was no real urgency to get into the metals markets. And then we found ourselves with the COVID-19 issue. When it first came out the first reaction when people realized how serious this was and people started talking about closing down the economy and the stock market took that hit and, dropped almost 10,000 points. Our first advice to our investors was do stay out of the way of the precious metals markets. The first reaction is going to be down. And, gold did move down almost $150 and silver dropped from about $17 where it is today, all the way back down to just south of 14. And that tends to be the first reaction. The first reaction is when you have an equity market that or any type of major investment where there's a lot of participation, if that starts to drop, the psychology of investors this is only temporary. And like all equity drops over the past 3 years, it's going to bounce and you want to get in on this drop. So what investors did was they actually sold their gold and their silver to raise cash to chase the equity market down. Once the equity market sort of bottomed and started to come back up, people then realized with the stimulus that was then added to the economy that caused that reversal in the equity market, the Fed adding a couple of trillion to its balance sheet and the government adding another trillion and change to a stimulus package, that this was a good time to get back into the market. And so we were looking for the drop, and then we suggested to clients to get back in. And we were looking for a target of 1750 about 3 months ago. We hit that once so far. It's having trouble getting through it. And right now, I think it's a wait and see. I'd like to be bullish the metals. My concern is I am very nervous about what happened last week. That 1,800 point drop in the Dow it made me nervous. It didn't recover on Friday. Picked up 400 points and it's basically almost giving that back today. Mm-hmm. So my concern is that the equity market may come under renewed pressure. And this time, I'm not sure the money will move out of the equity market into the metals. It may just move into cash. So I'm a little skeptical in the short term that this market will have legs unless the equity market stabilizes and at least starts to move higher.
Right. So you think, so this is a case where the stock market and the price of gold are going to move in tandem, huh?
It's been looking like that for a few weeks now. I mean, if you look at this morning, the equity market, the futures were looking like they were going, well, they were down 600 points before the open, and gold got slammed, went all the way down to 1705. It was down almost $30, $28. And silver had dropped south of $17. Now the equity market's only down about 280 points, and gold's reversed, and it's back up over 1720, and silver's back north of 1725. So it seems to be trading with the equity market based on the liquidity that's in the system. Now, I am bullish the precious metals market, but I think... I think we can't afford to have another shutdown a major collapse in the equity market, because I think then the reaction again is going to be down in the metals first and then find a base and then from there move higher. I don't see a straight trajectory higher if the equity market's running into trouble here.
Interesting. So what about all this liquidity sloshing around the world?
That's what's giving me some bullish tone. I think there's a bid under the market because of the liquidity. And again, I am not bearish. I'm not suggesting gold is going to go to, you know, 1400 or 1500 or silver is going to go to $10. But I think that liquidity in the market creates a bid under the market. So I'm looking for 1650 sort of downside on gold possible. Possibly silver back down to the 1650, 1620 level. So I'm not looking for a major drop, but I'm also not suggesting looking at these levels right now, you're going to see a $2,000 gold print within the next month unless we get the equity market stabilized.
Interesting. And obviously the future, as Yogi Berra said, it's very difficult to predict the future. Predictions are very difficult, especially about the future, and we don't know for sure, but supply side, so you deal in the world of supply and demand, mm-hmm. You actually keep track of such things. New gold supply has been going down, correct?
Correct.
And it's going to continue to for the foreseeable correct. Future until we get a really high gold price, then we might see a reversal.
Bear in mind, though, also on the demand side, India's demand is down about 70% from where it was last year at this time. Chinese demand is coming back, but certainly not as robust as it was in 2019. So the demand side of the equation from the central banks and from sovereigns has definitely dropped relative where it was in 2019. So there is some kind of an offset there. The investor demand on the metals, and you know, this is really the fault of the dealers. I got slammed not by the retail investors, but I got slammed by wholesalers in the market when we came out 2 months ago and we said, look, our opinion, again, it depends on your psychology and whether or not you're comfortable with certain investments, but we would certainly not be chasing physical silver or physical gold at these premium prices. I mean, eagles and buffaloes were trading at $150 to $200 over spot. Silver Eagles were trading at $10, $15 over spot. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous.
Insane.
Gold and the our investors that listen to us, we have a couple of products where you can park and be in the market and then wait for the premiums to come down. Wholesale premiums now on Eagles and Buffaloes are back to where they were pre-COVID crisis. Silver Eagles are still at $8 over, which again, a ridiculous premium.
Yeah.
But Silver Maple Leafs have come down from, the $8 premiums that they were trading at sort of in the middle of the pandemic. You can pick up Silver Maple Leafs now at $2.50 over, which is about where it was pre-COVID. Maybe still about 50 cents higher than it was pre-COVID. 100-ounce silver bars were trading at $7 over spot. They're now back at about $2. Again, still about 50 to 75 cents over where they were pre-COVID. But at least now you can, if you were waiting to get into the physical market, at least now, except for Silver Eagles, the premiums have somewhat normalized. And, so if you are a physical buyer of metal as opposed to an ETF or, a gold mining share, now is the time you might want to consider buying physical gold if you're looking for coins and bars, because the premiums are somewhat normalized to where they were a month ago when they were absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, they were. I mean, it was almost double the price of physical silver, the premiums on them.
Yeah, you're paying $10, $15 over for a Silver Eagle. You're paying $25, $30, and silver is at $17. I mean, it's got to double for you just to break even now. So again, we were very aggressively telling people not to chase the premiums. And unfortunately, we were getting a lot of pushback from the wholesalers and dealers out there that were trying to obviously milk the pandemic.
Yeah, well, I guess they were sitting, if they weren't fully hedged, they were sitting on metal that they paid a lot more for than the market was willing to give them. So you got to make it up in the premium, right? Otherwise, you're selling.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're a dealer that knows what they're doing, you don't buy an inventory unhedged. I mean, again, if you've done that, and then they got nailed when the economy shut down and the first move was down and they got caught. Fair enough. But any dealer that's worth their salt doesn't have an unhedged inventory. But again, that's, I've been in this business since 73. You have to be out of your mind to unhedge your inventory. But anyway, that's the way I would trade. But that doesn't mean other people aren't.
So I find that fascinating is the use of the futures market, because anybody in any level of the metals business, whether you're a jeweler on 47th Street in Manhattan or fabricating wire or bars or whatever you're doing, you got a hedge in this market, because if you don't, it's a surefire prescription for bankruptcy, right?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Lumina Gold, ticker symbol LUM on the Toronto Venture and LMGDF on the OTC, is yet another of legendary mining investor Ross Beaty's Lumina Group. It's advancing the largest primary gold deposit in Ecuador. The resource is estimated to contain 16.7 million ounces of gold and 2.2 billion pounds of copper. At just $7 US per ounce gold equivalent, it trades at an incredible 13% of its net present value. More good news is on the way with an updated PEA study expected in Q2 of 2020. It has unparalleled infrastructure. There's grid power to camp with plentiful, inexpensive hydropower available. It's close to two ports and is just 8 kilometers from a paved highway. Water is plentiful. It's at low elevation, and the closest community, which is very supportive of Lumina's effort, is just a 7-kilometer ride. With all this going for it, it's likely to follow the typical Ross Beaty formula, which means big returns to shareholders. Find out more and sign up for notifications at luminagold.com. That's Lumina, L-U-M-I-N-A, gold.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, you certainly, I mean, if you're a dealer in this market and you've got margins of 3 to 5% under normal market conditions, then all you're looking for is really volume. And they certainly, any dealer that was basically open had volume during, the months of March, April, and May, to some extent, the first part of June. So, when you've got a 3 to 5% margin, which is your normal operating margin, and your volume volumes have gone up tenfold.
Yeah.
Why would you then also try to spec and you know, try to squeeze a bit more out of the, I mean, again, I'm not saying dealers don't do that. And to me, it's it doesn't make sense. So yeah. I don't buy that argument. I think what the dealers did was they saw an opportunity to generate considerably more profit. They just jacked up their premiums. And now when the supplies have come to the market and they've normalized, it's a race to the bottom on premiums. Dealers are falling over themselves to drop premiums on product because now they've got inventory that's not moving because right. Investors have finally woken up and said, we're just not going to pay that kind of premium. We'll wait. So now the dealers have got the inventory. Now they've got to bring it down, and that's making it more affordable from a physical perspective for investors.
Okay, so the law of supply and demand is working even in the metals sector.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's just a matter of time. You've just got to be patient.
Yeah, so it was a fascinating time to watch through. As long as you didn't have your life savings in the market, you could kind of sit back and kind of just take the longer view of things and really just kind of wait for the panic to subside. But one thing is silver's price been depressed because there's just not a lot of investor demand for physical silver, right?
Well, and also industrial demand. I mean, yeah. The solar industry is down. When the news came out that, the Mexican mines were shutting down about 2 months ago, that's when silver finally got a lift and popped up $2. And I mean, we've traded as high as a little north of $18 in the past couple of weeks. But again, silver has an industrial usage to it. And, the global economies are still, at 20% capacity right now. So that had the industrial demand now picked up with these reopenings a bit quicker. I think silver would be probably closer to $19, maybe $20. But the industrial side just hasn't picked up yet.
Yeah, we've got a ways to go for that. But probably not that much more. Although, the panic now is the second wave. We've got spikes and all this stuff. And I'm not convinced that that's actually going to happen. But hey, I'm not the epidemiologist, so I don't know for sure. But
I think we'll know pretty quick. I mean, with these demonstrations and, all of the sort of groups that are together in very close proximity, and, Trump is having his rally tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow.
Right.
And then you've got to wait the 10 days, 15 days. The cases are starting to spike in California, Florida, South Carolina. I mean, they're spiking. They're not where they were in March, but they are starting to spike. The worst thing that could possibly happen here is that they reverse course and they shut the economies down again. I mean, then the recovery is over, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't believe that they're going to shut it down. They'll maybe impose some restrictions, who knows. But to shut down the global economy, whether it was well-advised the first time or not, I just can't see him doing it again.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think so. Again, I'm just giving you a worst case scenario. Right, if they do that sure. another time, I mean, then all bets are off. I mean, then I think we're going to go in whatever you want to call it.
Major depression for sure.
Great second great recession, whatever words they want to use, but it's not going to be pretty.
No, definitely not. And that's probably why it won't happen, especially with all the social unrest, which COVID-19, the lockdown definitely exacerbated a situation that was already present and made it a lot worse. So looking ahead here, end of the year, what number are we looking at?
Oh, God. End of the year.
Hey, you were close to that.
On a premise that we don't have a significant second wave that shuts the economy down, I see year end. I'm going to put a number on there. I think we'll be around the 2011 high, 19.25.
19.25. Woo. You always do surprise me on the upside, Peter, but I know better than to bet against you. I think You know, my feeling is 2000 will be at a right about in a new high, but I'll settle for 1911. Obviously, it's good for business. And, you know, we've got like a generation, though, or maybe two. We don't really understand the insurance aspects, the hedging aspects against the stupid governments of precious metals. They're looking at cryptocurrencies. Are they going to be sucked into this rally at some point?
Depends what kind of pain they felt. You know, it comes down to a pain threshold. You know, my kids are just now sort of starting to make money, and they're, you know, they're in the workforce, and but they don't have a lot in the market. So, you know, and most of them lucky enough, they pick careers where they're still working. They haven't been laid off.
Yeah.
So they're not really feeling the pain economically. To get them to buy gold might be a push. But what I'm seeing where there is a lot more interest is where you can provide the millennials with a product that is a bit sexier than buying a 1 ounce gold bar and sticking it in your pocket. And, you know, that's sort of the digital platforms that are popping up, the gold-backed tokens that are popping up. I think, especially in the Far East in China, it's an extremely popular investment vehicle. I think that is going to be more the future, where individuals have trading platforms on a cash basis, where they're absolutely assured that the metal is backing the platform, and ideally a third-party depository. I mean, we have a product that we launched recently where the we have the custodian of the product is a sovereign government, is the Royal Canadian Mint. So it's a platform that clients can trade 24/7 and take delivery of the metal if they wanted to. That is starting to generate interest, and again, the younger generation are becoming more comfortable in that arena. My generation, I mean, you know, we're pretty much dead. I mean, you know, we've got our little gold hoards out there, and I can tell you, you know, once my generation and my parents' generation, who are pretty much already deceased, but once they start dropping off, you know, these kids are going to find these little hoards of gold and silver that their parents and grandparents have been collecting. And their inclination is not going to be to hold this stuff. It's going to be to sell it.
Right. Depending how bad the economy is.
And how they've been raised, and, you know, what psychology they've been taught. But again, we get a lot of selling, and it's, I just found this stuff in my dad's drawer. Don't know what it is. And, you know, and not even a context that, what do you mean it's worth $1,700? you know, it's that type of, we're seeing a lot of that type of stuff. I mean, and it's more and more prevalent as obviously our generation ages, and this stuff becomes more available to their kids.
Yeah,
who have never been scared and never had to worry about having a hedge.
Well, they might want to take a look at what's going on in the global economy now, and why their elders got into it in the first place. There's some things, you know, that just never change. And another thing, the COVID-19 is specifically, it's almost targeted to boomers. If you wanted to get rid of boomers and you had to think of a way to do it, and COVID-19 has been very effective in nursing homes and, you know, assisted living.
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing that happened here was the stock market dropped to 18,000 and rallied back up to almost 27,000. So again, you know, the millennials and, you know, they're going, it happens all the time. The stock market keeps going up, no big deal. So, you know, they're not scared. You know, now with the market, if it keeps going down, you're going to have a situation where they're actually going to see a hit to their equity position. And if housing prices now also follow, right now they've been actually very buoyant, but if housing prices get hit in the, sort of the second drop, now you've really got wealth destruction. And then maybe the millennials will have a better appreciation that gold will hold its value in times like this.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen. In any event, we're going to hold you to 1911, Peter. Not really. Okay. Not really, but I think it's a great number out there. And we could see, you know, the stock market go up, get close to all-time highs, and gold go up, where they were moving opposite-wise for many years. That seems to have changed. I think that's really significant, although I'm not sure why. Just to see two markets that used to trade contrary now trade the same tells me something is going on in the market, and we need to be aware of it. Anyways, we find your work over, of course, at kitco.com. Any questions or comments, we'll forward them off to Peter. Just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Check out our main site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Peter, always a pleasure, always interesting, and always food for thought for the future.
Thanks, Kerry. Pleasure being here again.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.